Hi, everyone. This is Catherine Adams
and Elizabeth Wallace, and you're listening to Binary System Podcast number 429. And tonight, we don't have a Night Vale episode just yet, but we do have several other things we wanted to talk about. So first, we'll open up with the weekly
sit-rep.
Go. What you got?
I am having some of my homemade prickly pear wine. This is the 2023, which I think is rather good. I've started back sweetening it before putting it into bottles, and I think that helps because otherwise it was just overwhelmingly tangy. But also, I took my dandelion wine to a wine tasting at the local brewery, and everybody remembered when I had brought the prickly pear wine, and they're like, oh yeah, this dandelion wine is good. That prickly pear wine was amazing, so I have to remember
that's
that.
That's awesome. Nice, very nice. I have a stone IPA to the surprise of absolutely nobody. So yes, the sit rep, we wanted to do that because two hurricanes have come through, and one of them came right on top of where our parents and our little sister live in Florida, but we're happy to say they were spending the night with a friend further inland, and neither of their places suffered any damage, though mom and dad are still without power.
It's really kind of interesting that Hannah has power for some reason. Yeah. I would have thought a big neighborhood like mom and dad have that's close to so many of those big pastel warehouses with windows that people call mansions on the coast now. And that whole neighborhood is still without power. So that's rather surprising. But I was pleasantly shocked that the storm did not do as much damage, because when we say that it went for them, it made a beeline, not just for Sarasota or Bradenton, but right in that little spot where they're at there. So it was, I was thinking it was going to be at least some damage, you know, torn up the roof, maybe a little bit of flooding. I don't know. But yeah, I've been like at work, I've been calling a couple of my people that I work with in Florida, because we have to officially make sure that they didn't have any effects from the storm. And they're all like, yeah, we're fine. Didn't lose power. Thank we're God. Great.
Yeah. I think the East Coast got hit a lot harder because that's where the tornadoes came through.
Oh,
so
God. Yeah.
Not everybody was so lucky. Holy cow. And then, of course, we know people who are in the Asheville and Boone area. And it's, I mean, we're talking like weeks, if not months, before that actually gets put back into shape.
So, yeah. We're actually, my church is doing our own little drive for supplies for people in the mountains, and it's called We've Got You Covered. They need blankets, and they need a lot of them, because it's getting on to fall. It's in the mountains. Some of these people will not have power until 2025. So if you guys can like donate anything that would help people who are going to be very cold very soon, that would be very appreciated.
Yep. We will put links in the podcast description to all of those things. Oh my goodness. But anyway, yeah, really grateful that mom and dad and Hannah were okay. I mean, you had reached out and said, is there any way you guys could just come up to North Carolina? And Hannah's like, what is it? Interstate 70 is already a parking lot. It just wasn't workable.
75. And I don't know if they ever did the thing where they switched the southbound lane to northbound just so they could get people out of the state. But yeah, it was bumper to bumper traffic. They weren't going anywhere. And I mean, it's another one of those things. If you do get out of the state, where do you go? I mean, as far as I could tell, they could either like swerve towards Alabama with some cousins staying there, or come all the way up to North Carolina, and you've got dad who has mobility issues and mom who would be like trying to plan for everything and freaking out, understandably, and then Hannah getting to deal with all of that. I mean, oh boy.
Oh my God. Shout out to Hannah. Holy cow.
Yeah. I was so grateful that friends had a place for mom and dad and Hannah to stay, but apparently it was close quarters and, you know, kind of stressful. And I'm sure they're all glad that it's done with that now.
Very much so. Okay, so the other thing on the sit rep is not as important news, but still on a kind of negative level. Ugh, Netflix canceled Chaos after one season.
What did that take? Like less than a week after I finally watched the first episode and they canceled it? Maybe it's me.
No, it's just, I swear to God, I mean, I didn't watch it until maybe 3 weeks after it came out, you know? And I think Netflix just decided, oh, well, we didn't have enough people binge watch the entire season in the first week that that it came out, therefore it's not a success, so we're canceling it. I'm like, oh, you guys, stop it.
I don't get it. I mean, is it really that hard to wait until a show has established itself or to recognize that you've got something that could be a real winner on your hands? But I mean, it's just like cancel, right, left, and HBO Max pulling, you know, the licensings for various things that you could never see them again. Ugh.
Yeah, this is anybody who ever teased you for the fact that you've still got a whole bunch of DVDs. Man, people are switching their minds about that one. Mm-hmm. I mean, having physical media means that as long as you have a device that can play it, you can't have it taken away from you, because streaming has proved to be real super unreliable that way.
Yeah, I can see myself making another shelf in this house and starting to buy some DVDs of things I like, because it's just that there's no telling how long something's going to last and how long before they decide, you don't need to see this anymore.
Oh, you know what's weird? The movie, Anthony Hopkins' Titus movie. Mm-hmm. I would really like to see that again at some point. Mm-hmm. It is not available online anywhere. And I mean anywhere. You have to have a physical copy if you're going to watch that movie. I'm like, it seems insane to me in this day and age. It's crazy.
It is. And that always weirds me out when I see something that's just nowhere. Because, yeah. I mean, surely there's enough bandwidth for even the obscure stuff. I mean, they put a lot of crap on TV. You find a little bit of extra room for something like that?
Yeah, maybe not, but okay, so that's enough of that. In better news, now, both of us have watched a little bit. Well, you finished up the first season of Star Trek Lower Decks. I'm on the most recent season that's available. The next season won't come out for another few weeks, so I've kind of been eking out those episodes. So I'm sure you've watched a lot more episodes than I have lately.
Well, I loved the final episode of the first season. I mean, just in the opening scene where that one ship, spoilers, gets destroyed because it tries to go into warp when it's got a clamp from attacking ship on it. That was an epic explosion. That was really well done. And then the rest of it was just all so fun, getting to watch all this stuff. And then, son of a gun, Jonathan Frakes and Mariana Surtees showed up as Riker and Troy. And I don't know why, but it was so pleasing to hear Mariana Surtees' voice coming out of that animated Counselor Troy. It was just great.
It was brilliant. I mean, this show gets all of the guest actors on there. They really do.
But then to have it end with, you know, Boimler was mad at Mariner because Mariner, her secret's out. Everybody knows that the captain is her mom and they're all kissing up to her. And she's decided that the only way she's going to get away from this is if she gets promoted to another ship. So she tries to get the promotion that Boimler was after and all the chaos with that. And I did like the fact that you saw Boimler marching down the hallway and then Mariner comes up beside him and they're both doing that like snake hip sort of marching kind of thing until Boimler looks at her. He's like, what are you doing? Just very fun. But I mean, he finally tells her the reason why he was mad that she was going for a promotion, because he was like, but I go for promotions all the time and I never get them. But he was worried she would get a promotion and leave. And she's his best friend and he would hate for that to happen. And then Riker offers him a promotion to go to his ship, and he takes it without even discussing it. The next thing you see is a bunch of angry messages from Mariner on his, like, tempad, whatever, about the fact that he left without saying goodbye. And I'm like, wow, real character development going on there. That's surprising.
Seriously, and this is not one of those shows where something happens in one episode and they just conveniently forget about it the next. There will be repercussions for that in the next season.
Yeah, that's so. I'm enjoying the heck out of this. I mean, everybody's doing such a fantastic job. The action scenes are great. The expressions are always wonderful. And it keeps surprising me every time.
I had a laugh out loud moment. I want to say it's in the very beginning of the episode, because I think Boimler is like teasing her or something and doesn't realize that either the captain's behind him or everybody can see him and he's teasing her or saying something about how he knows that her mom is the captain of the ship and everything, and then he looks behind and he goes, just shrieks. And I just had to rewind and see that again. That was so funny.
They again, of the little flourishes, like when Boimler and Mariner are sitting in the bar on board the ship and talking, and then Riker comes up, and Boimler, like, stands to attention, but he slams his knees against the table first, and then he manages to get upright. I'm like, a lot of cartoons would not add those extra little bits in there.
Nope, they really do. They are taking their time. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so next up, you have watched some more episodes of Mayor of Kingstown.
Season 3. Man, I know exactly what you were talking about with the storyline that gets just completely cut off. So, great big spoilers.
Yes.
But, of course, Ian has still been working with that serial killer guy to get him to try to remember where he buried all of the bodies of the people that he murdered. And some of them are like the bodies are scattered around various places. So after that whole thing where he tried to use the guy to intimidate someone who was going to be a whistleblower, and then the guy actually kills the whistleblower on his porch, and I'm just mm-hmm. looking at that going, God, it never occurred to you how badly that could go? I mean, all it would take is one person to see what's happening to realize that you just snuck an incredibly dangerous criminal out of solitary confinement just so that he can intimidate somebody into not testifying. I can't even tell you how many laws Ian broke with that. But the guy keeps like trying to bring up, oh, I remember the one about the porch. Like he wants to tell people about, oh, I know where the body is for the, and like Ian is just like, no, I'm handling that one and trying to get him to stop. And he did it again when they were out on location to identify a spot in this big field. And the guy just like starts thinking that maybe Ian's mad at him because Ian keeps telling him to not bring that up. And he's sitting in the car and Ian's just on his phone. And you hear from the car, what about the man on the porch, Ian? And it's just completely different voice from him. And I'm wondering, because he's always so like hesitant, and he's obviously got some kind of damage going on in his brain because he can't really talk very clearly most of the time. And then that just like crystal clear menace in his voice when he asks Ian that. And Ian just looks at him and he pulls out his gun and starts firing. And eventually he kills him, and he's like, he was coming for me, and that's, like, storyline gone.
Completely. I mean, I could not believe how fast that happened. I was like, whoa. I mean, any other show, I feel like they might have eked that out for a little bit. You know, it's like, can he keep him quiet? Can he convince him to stay quiet? No, he just blows him away.
Just blows him away. And I have to wonder, I mean, was that the real killer the entire time? And the little, you know, very hesitant kind of scatterbrained person you've been talking to was sort of fake, or was the scatterbrained one really, but the real killer just like takes over every once in a while? I mean, they really
have no idea,
because it was so obvious that it was just a completely different brain talking to Ian at that point.
Oh, it was wonderfully creepy. It's probably one of my favorite moments in the third season, just how unexpected and kind of scary it was. It was just, whoa.
But there was another storyline that they truncated faster than I thought they were going to, and it was Kyle's wife, Tracy, realized that there were guards in the women's prison that were having sex with the prisoners, which is basically, it's rape. I mean, because they can't consent. They're in a hierarchical structure where they can't say no to the people in power. So therefore, there's no question about consent there. And it was probably like actual attacking these women and overpowering them. So one of the guards that notices that she's trying to talk to this one woman who was pregnant, and it had to have been by somebody in the prison, and he goes out and he threatens her into being quiet. Really gets up in her face and throws her against a car and terrorizes her. So she goes to Mike, and I'm like, I think that's a good plan. I mean, I like,
probably.
You don't want to lie to your spouse, but even Mike was like, yeah, don't tell Kyle about this. I'll handle it. And Mike goes out and actually gets Ian to come with him to hold him back, to make sure that he doesn't go too far. And then Mike beats the shit out of the guard. He doesn't say that it's because of Tracy, but the guard obviously figured it out, because as he was pulling out of the parking lot the next day, he flips Tracy off, and Tracy slams her car into him multiple times on purpose. And then she goes back, and then she tells Kyle what happened. I was like, thank God, because I was expecting a couple more episodes, maybe another season, of her having to hide the fact that somebody at her work threatened her, and then she told Mike about it, but not Kyle.
Yeah, and Kyle is obviously butthurt, but at the same time, you can kind of see that he sort of gets where she's coming from, because, I don't know, it's his wife, and a guard threatened her, and it's not that he could, I mean, sure, he could lose his job, but he could also get arrested, or other cops could go after him, and Mike is outside of that structure, and that's why he can actually do what Kyle can't.
Yeah, and I'm sure Tracy worked that into her calculations with the idea that Kyle has more to lose. And if Mike does something, everybody's just going to assume it's Mike being Mike, which when it's this reminded me of Iris, that when somebody hurt or threatened a woman that he knows, it's just like a switch goes on in his brain. But he had the sense to bring Ian along to drag him off the guy before he beat him to death, which is what he was obviously going for at that point.
I did
like the way that Kyle put it when she told him what had happened. She told him that she told Mike and hadn't told him, and he's just like, what is the point of me if I can't protect my wife? Just like the way he kept asking that, what is the point of me? And I just, so yeah, it's a difficult situation, but I think Tracy made the right decision there.
I do too. Yeah, I really do. And anyway, more to come.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and the episode ended with Milo coming back, which wasn't a surprise because we knew he was coming back.
Yeah, exactly. It was funny how we were partway through the season and people were talking something about Milo being dead and everything. And I was like, oh, so they don't know. I mean, it was really clear that Milo was not killed in that explosion. Did I say Mike or Milo before? I don't remember.
Can't remember. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine. Anyway, Milo. All these people saying that Milo was dead and he clearly wasn't. And so everybody finds it out and I'm thinking, oh, okay, so now everybody's on the same page. All right, fine.
So, one more episode. We'll probably talk about that next week.
Okay, and then last up, I believe somebody finished watching a series this week.
Nathan and I finally finished watching The Crown. Watched the last episode, and I've been looking up the information about how the episode was created. And apparently, I don't know if it was the writer or the showrunner that after the queen passed away, but before the episode was released, I don't know how much sooner before, he actually did add that extra bit in the ending with her in the cathedral and then her walking around and she looks down and there's a coffin with the crown jewels on it. And the big goodbye from the other actresses that played her throughout the series, which, I was in tears at that point because that was, and they even included the one younger actress who played her earlier on in the season when they had the flashback with her and her sister. And I thought, I am so glad they included her in that. That's great.
I know. It was all really well done. Again, they had conversations between her and her younger self.
Mm-hmm.
Which I liked that better than the conversations that people had with dead people throughout the season. And it made more sense that you would talk to a younger version of yourself. And I thought they did that pretty well.
I liked that very much. I'm always a sucker for that kind of thing, especially in a show like this when you've had multiple people playing the same character to get to see that. That was great. I think what bothered me about when people were talking to ghosts, if they had just made it more clear that these are grieving people who are like trying to find some measure of closure and aren't actually talking to ghosts, because that was, I mean, talking with Hannah about the idea that these are people that, you know, passed away fairly recently and they don't have the ability to say, hey, wait a minute, I didn't actually ever say that or think that or feel that or offer any kind of forgiveness to this person. So,
exactly. And even, it's not even like, I think, well, I don't know, it could be just be me, but I feel like most people know that they weren't intending to have it be like an actual ghost. It was definitely a memory or something, you know, some grieving process and everything. But I do think they did need to make it clear that this wasn't what the person would have said in that moment. It's what the person would have really wanted them to say.
Exactly.
And, I don't know. Yeah, anyway, especially with the Charles stuff. I felt that the Charles conversation with Diana when she's dead and everything, it just, I don't know, it felt very self-serving, you know? I'm like, dude, you were just, you. In a lot of ways, he was a really big asshole throughout that entire relationship. And I feel like they were trying to give him a pass. And I'm like, no, I don't think so.
There was an awful lot of the writer's trying to give Charles a pass with the fact that he really, really, really loves Camilla, and she's always been the love of his life. I'm like, well, Diana was the mother of your children, and you were the one that asked her to marry you. So I feel like him just being a jerk about it just made everything worse. I don't think he did a whole lot to try to make her life easier, and the fact that she was lonely and isolated and probably loved Charles more than he had ever loved her, and just
Yeah. You know, there was a news story, I believe it was floating around Blue Sky, that apparently Charles and Camilla took a trip to Australia, and there was some type of snub that happened. Sorry for being vague. I don't know the details of the story, but somebody, an Australian citizen, was making comments about it and saying something like, oh yeah, Charles and that consort he's dragging around, and I was like, wow.
Well, that is technically her title. I mean, I was asking Nathan about this, that her title is technically Queen Consort. And I said, but Philip was never King Consort. He was only Prince Consort. And that's because the assumption is that the king is higher than the queen. So have to imagine that probably rubbed Philip the wrong way for most of his life. But
probably would not be surprised. But anyway, I thought it was a good end to the season.
It was.
Series, actually, yeah.
I know, yeah. And just a big goodbye. And Imelda Staunton, my God. Oh, I mean, I'd known her from a few other things before this. And I'm just so glad she got such a chance to shine here. I mean, when she just looks around at any time and you just see this, like, grief, this almost horrified grief in her face, especially when she was saying goodbye to her sister. And it's just, oh, my heart.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, and so last up this week, Catherine actually released a book review, but it was written last week, but it came out Saturday, and then I didn't send out the social medias till today as of time of this recording, because time is weird.
It was actually written several weeks ago, and I created the banners for it several weeks ago, and I never uploaded the banners to Pixelated Geek, and I never published the review, and I just forgot about it completely. It's the Book of Elsewhere, the one that's written by China Mieville and Keanu Reeves, which I was very proud that I got that and read it and reviewed it and everything, and I don't know what happened. So there'll be another review coming out this week, already out at time of this episode drops. Time is weird. But I just had to, like, holy crap, and just go ahead and release that fast.
Yeah, it sounds like it was good. I know you were kind of wondering if it would be for everybody, but certainly from the review, it sounds like the storyline is very interesting.
Yeah, it is. And apparently it's all a continuation of a comic book character that Keanu Reeves created, Berserker. So, which I may actually want to take a look at, but it's so obviously the main character is Keanu Reeves. And so I had no problem picturing him the entire time, but it's an immortal character, and really looking at what that is like for someone to literally be alive for thousands of years and you can't die.
Yeah. And of course, Keanu Reeves, you know, lost his wife and child at one point. And so I'm sure this has got to be speaking to a lot of his experience.
I'm sure. Yes. Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah. But yeah, so that was a good book. I was so freaking thrilled that Laird Barron, the author who writes cosmic horror, he dropped a new short story collection in September. I had no idea. Ooh. So I'm reading it now.
Yay! That's awesome. He is what I call one of Catherine's authors. It's just people who Catherine's reviewed their books, and they find the reviews and retweet them on Twitter and say something nice about the reviews. And it happens all the freaking time. So he's definitely one of them.
Yes. So look for that to come out a week and a half, if I remember.
Yeah, seriously. What the hell? But I guess that will wrap us up for the week. So make sure to check out PixelatedGeek.com for all the book reviews, the movie reviews, the comic book reviews, the photo galleries. I have to catch up on another two issues of The Nice House by the Sea, I think it is, the sequel to The Nice House on the Lake. I don't know what's been wrong with me, but I will read those, and I will have a review out for all three of those. I promise. All that and more, pixelatedgeek.com. So we will definitely have a Night Vale episode next week.
Yes, and we will definitely have the last episode of Bear of Kingstown. Hopefully not the last episode ever. I'm hoping we get season 4.
Oh, that would be awfully nice. And whatever other shiny thing happens to cross our path. So one way or the other, we will talk to everybody in 1 week.
Talk to y'all later.
He is what I call one of... Sorry, cat sneezing. He is what I tend to call Catherine... One more time.